This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. On this Tuesday, April the 15th, 2025, and joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Very good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I paid my taxes.
It's tax day, baby.
Have you?
Done and behind you.
I way ahead of time this year, filed mine last Friday. way ahead of time.
We're usually on the front end of all this because for many, many years, we were getting tax returns.
Refund.
Refund, so we were excited to do it,
or
right?
Not a refund, but what is it?
It's a tax return.
Yeah.
But we were excited to do it, but it seems in the last couple of years, that's not been the case, so we haven't been too eager to be the first.
You need to have more children to get more deductibles.
That's right.
Have a couple more kids, get more deductibles. Is that the way you family plan, Chris? No, that'd be a no. All right. It is tax day.
It is.
Yes, it is.
You have until midnight.
And I contributed zero to that. As Allison, my wife, she did all that. Hmm. I leave all that. So if I get arrested one day, it'll be because she didn't pay, and I never knew it.
Behind every good man is a great woman rolling her eyes.
That's exactly.
So you have to get anyway, I just wanted to remind everybody.
You have.
If you don't do it by today, you got to file
extension, got to pay some penalty or mm-hmm. something.
Libertarians are listening and saying, taxation is theft.
Yeah,
there it is.
Well, they're right. But we still got to do it, right?
What's the old saying? The two certainties in life is death and taxes.
That's right.
I don't know who said that, but
probably a guy that was dying because he was being taxed.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway, it's April 15th, 2025.
Maybe we helped somebody today that forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We sent them into full panic mode. That's what we did.
That's right. If you haven't started,
that's
now
right.
Is
then
the
we
time.
Did.
Hey, Wesley, you want to mention our conference coming up this summer?
I do. We have a conference coming up this summer. It's an Activate Summit. The name of this year's conference is Biblical Bedrock Building on the Authority of Scripture. We're going to have, think about it as like an apologetic 101 for the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. We're going to cover that. We're going to have several different speakers, some of which are Frank Turek, Ed Vitagliano, Abe Hamilton III, and others as well.
Todd Herman.
Yes, sir. Todd Herman's going to be there. To find out more about this, you can go to activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net. It's going to complement our curriculum that we have produced, that we have created. And we will also be selling that product there for a discounted price. June 12th through the 14th, we're really excited. Look forward to meeting you there. If you've ever wanted to meet some of the staff of AFA and AFR, over half or more of our staff will be participating at the Activate Summit in some shape, form, or fashion. We also offer a kids program, ages 6 through 12, that goes simultaneously with the adult side of the conference.
So a children's track.
That's right, a children's track.
When did you say it was?
This is June the 12th through the 14th.
It's Thursday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, and the special pricing ends Friday, April the 18th. So we've at the end of the week, of this week.
So pay your taxes and then sign up for the
that's right.
For the Activate conference if there's anything left. Yeah. Actually, we got it. It's very easy, very good price, right?
Yeah, $75 for ages 13 and up. ages 6 through 12, which is the kids' track. It's $50 for the whole weekend. Yeah. Let me emphasize that.
Beat that.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
All weekend. It's free for 6 and under, or 5 and under.
Okay, so that's going to be here in Tupelo, Mississippi?
Be in Tupelo. It'll replace our Marriage Family Life Conference that we've had in the years past.
Okay.
We've currently got just over 300 adults signed up, about 75 kids
signed up.
How
do you go read about this?
And you can find out more about this, the topics that we're going to be covering, and the speakers that will be there.
And how to register.
And how to register. You can find out at activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net. And Jenna Ellis, who will be on with us at 10:30, will also be a panel speaker.
Panelist.
Well, panelist. So.
Okay.
Looking forward
to
that.
Coming up this summer in June.
And the reason we're talking about it is because Friday
is the deadline. early bird
right.
Registration is up on Friday.
That's right.
But we would love to have everybody come visit us here in Tupelo, Mississippi for this very special conference. And then while you're here, if you want to schedule a tour of our American Family Radio studios, you can do that as well. So that's coming up in June. All right, Chris, what's your first story?
Well, because we were talking about tax day, I wanted to bring this in. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst has proposed a bill called the Audit the IRS Act.
Mm-hmm.
It would require the IRS to ensure that its workers pay their taxes. That's because of a watchdog report that found current and former employees owed $46 million worth of taxes. And that's about... Yes, IRS employees owe back taxes. And
I got to stop you right there because, you know, the words of that great philosopher Gomer Pyle come to mind.
Holy.
Well, no, not that, yeah. But that is appropriate. I would just shame, shame, shame.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, if you're just tuning in, people that are collecting your taxes, some of them
paying
are not
their
paying
own.
Their own taxes. In fact, about 5% of IRS employees were not fully caught up on paying their own taxes. Fox did a big segment on this. I'll post a link to it here in a segment. To go with this story, CPA and tax expert Dan Geltrud said this bill from Ernst is a good idea. Clip 5.
It is a good idea. I mean, the optics of this are really terrible when you think there are 4,800 former or current IRS employees, as well as IRS contractors, that owe $46 million of taxes. I mean, come on. You're enforcing laws here for people to pay their taxes, and then you don't do it. So there's three provisions here to pay attention to. Number one, it mandates annual audits. Number two, it will terminate anyone that is seriously delinquent with their taxes. And number three, you don't get hired if you have outstanding taxes. So I think this bill is a positive, and I can't really see anybody being against this.
Yeah, that's proposed legislation?
Yes, from Republican Senator Joni Ernst.
From Iowa. Okay, well, we'll see where that goes. Ray, what do you think about this? Is this not a good look? The IRS.
Is anybody surprised? It's not that I think that the people at the IRS, particularly nefarious, are more evil than anybody else, but no. They forgot.
Yeah.
They didn't file correctly. They didn't file on time. They overlooked. They gave themselves the benefit of the doubt. So very least you can say it's not a good look if the people who collect our taxes are themselves behind on their taxes.
Look, you got to have taxation. This is my view, because there are necessary parts of our federal, state, and local government that are essential to our way of life. So I don't mind, and I know y'all don't mind paying your quote fair share of taxes. However, when you see the waste, fraud, and abuse pointed out, like Elon Musk has, you just go, my word, man, our taxes are being, our tax payments that we're giving into the government, a lot of it's being wasted. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the general frustration.
And we've known or felt that for years, but we would want to know more about where our money's going, but we wouldn't get any help from politicians in many cases. But now with Doge, they're exposing it, but it's also adding to I told you so, and we're getting, you know. So I just, you know, I've been curious though. It's exciting to find someone like Elon doing something about it with his team, But what is exactly are we doing after we with each one that we uncover or discover? Are we stopping it right away, or?
Well, I think what's going to happen, first of all,
there's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is quote. I want to know what's the account. What are we counting?
I think for? To the extent that President Trump has the authority to shut programs down mm-hmm. or agencies down, like the Department of Education, for example, and others, he's in this. What was that other one? The first one that came out where we learned so much money was being wasted and spent on leftist ideology.
Was a bunch
something
of
USA.
USAID.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah. That one. But I think President Trump, again, to the extent that he has the authority to do so, will eliminate these agencies, or you know. But the other thing is that Congress is going to have to step in and defund a lot of this. The problem, primarily the problem, is the Democrats. Not altogether. There are some Republicans who are part of the swamp too, and vote for things that in their own states and districts that may be wasteful. That does happen. I would agree. However, primarily the problem is the big government liberals mm-hmm. and the Democrat Party, who they never met a spending bill they didn't love every bit of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And ginormous. And what do you do? Because it benefits the Democrat, this is my view, it benefits the Democrat Party among the general population if you promise them stuff. Mm-hmm. If you promise them, you look at what's happening in California, for example. I was reading about this morning, and it's the lead story on Fox News. They have a program where they pay for free medical care. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not free, they're paying for it.
Right.
For illegal immigrants, okay? So... And this program is costing a lot more than they ever thought it would, and it's making them go busted, okay? And they're having to take money, a loan, out of the general fund to pay for this free health care for illegal immigrants into California. Well, that's something the Democrats promise, and they believe in the name of human compassion, but there's no common sense to it because you can't pay for it. You don't have the money for it.
Right.
So a lot of programs, to answer your question, a lot of programs that liberals and Democrats believe in and want to pay for, there's just not the money to do it any longer.
Oh, sure. And that's what I'm trying to understand is now that we're uncovering these and we're stopping them,
What's going to be done about it to stop it?
No. What's going to be done with that money that they just stopped? So let's say $100,000, just throwing out a number, is going to... What? Sex change in Africa, and we stopped the $100,000. Where does that...
Are you against sex changes in Africa?
I knew it.
Word. Why didn't you say Europe or China? I mean, is this kind of a, huh?
Listen, okay, don't distract me.
Okay, I'm not going to distract you.
From
okay,
the point.
Well, so what they need to do... we're in debt, and we're running a deficit, I mean, by trillions of dollars every year. So is it $1.5 trillion a year or something like that, right? Or something? Anyway... What? So,
we're
no, if you find $100,000 or $1 million or $10 million, you don't find somewhere else to spend it, because that means you just need to cut it out of the budget altogether so that we don't have to borrow as much to pay for our deficit, which is going to cause our country great pain and anguish.
At some point.
At some point, if we don't stop doing this.
My suggestion. Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
I think, Jim, part of the problem is to take your example, is if you're talking about $1.5 trillion added to the deficit.
Annually,
right. Right. Unbelievable.
Right.
I could imagine a politician saying, well, this is only $5 million, right? It's only $10 million. Just whether we cut that or not, it's not going to make any difference in the big $1.5 trillion. I think it's pretty easy for politicians to justify a lot of this pork, because they think if they cut it, it's not going to make any difference to the problem anyway. I guess what I'm saying, the problem is less the money. Yeah. It's the mindset in Washington that it doesn't matter, so let's keep spending money.
Yeah, I've often said that the federal government's money is everybody's money, and it's nobody's money.
Right.
So by everybody's money, I mean we all pay into it, and it's the budget of the United States of America. But it's nobody's money, and it is that the accountability for spending it is just not there because it's not coming out of your own personal bank account. So these politicians, a lot of them, again, Republican and Democrat, are just free spenders with everybody's money, with the tax money, because there's little or no accountability for it, and it makes somebody in their constituency happy.
Yeah.
So
I'm getting a little, I can feel it coming.
Yeah. Well, we need to move on.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean
so far
unhealthy anger?
That's been a peaceful morning this morning. Okay. 70 degrees
all right,
outside.
Let's move on. Next story.
Well, not long after this show ended yesterday, around 12 o'clock Central Time yesterday, the folks in the San Diego, California area felt a pretty significant earthquake. The good news is there are no reports of major damage or injuries. But in the initial minutes and hours after the quake, it was reported that it was somewhere around 6.7, which is pretty strong. That has since changed to anywhere from 5.2 to around 6, depending on the news outlet. But there was an earthquake yesterday across Southern California. It was actually felt as far away as L.A. and Orange County. But again, initial estimates indicate minimal impact. I have never been through an earthquake. I have been through an earthquake simulator. That's obviously not the same thing. But Ray, you were saying you've been through an earthquake before.
You know, the first 5 years out of seminary, I pastored a church in the suburbs of Los Angeles where they have these, you know, quakes and shocks that just come. It's just part of living in Southern California. And I can still remember driving home. I think of driving home for lunch from the church to my house about a mile away, and came to a stoplight, and I felt something strange happening. And I looked at the road, Chris, and the road was going up and down like this. Most terrifying thing I can remember, because, you know, you always think if it's a tornado, what? Okay, go down low, go into the basement, right? But what do you do if the ground underneath you begins to give way? Where do you go then? I can't imagine anything more terrifying than being one of these great big buildings when a major earthquake hits.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Yeah, no. That was, thank the Lord nobody was hurt. Mm-hmm. But I saw videos of that.
Yeah.
That's and with earthquakes, you know, I've only been in one, and that was a small one a long time ago. But you just go, well, how long is this going to last? 5 seconds feels like 2 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is this building going to fall down? You know, and you just wonder what those things do. Now, they've got codes out in California now that they've had for decades that are much safer than what they used to have in terms of absorbing the shock of an earthquake.
Later today, we'll have California native Steve Jordahl come in and demonstrate for us what to do during a earthquake drill. I remembered, and I always think about this, back in, you know, you had that earthquake during the 89 World Series that disrupted the game between the Athletics and the Giants, and how that was captured on television. I mean, everybody was watching the game. I think it was game 3.
All right, so that's, you know, you play rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play earthquake, tornado, hurricane. Y'all ready?
Okay, on three? Are we putting it down on three or saying three and then putting it down?
I don't know. What
okay.
we?
Okay.
So anyway, we'll do it later. I think our listeners.
If you do that, you're going to have to, it can't still be rock as in a fist, paper as in flat.
Right.
So then we're going to have to come up with some symbols.
Some symbols.
I know. Yeah. That'll take some time.
That would. And then we'd end up losing some of our listeners.
Right, I think so. It doesn't work on radio. Us having to have a planning meeting for our new
Instead
science.
Of a March Madness tournament, but we should have rock, paper, scissors next time.
And who knows if that's the next trend that gets out there and starts trending.
Earthquake, hurricane, tornado?
Game.
Game? Yeah. Okay.
Like
we're going to replace pickleball with rock, paper, scissors.
We've all said here at some point you've walked across something or you passed something and said, I wish I would have created that.
Right.
You know,
well, that was my idea right there, that new game.
So who knows? We'll that see. Could be it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story.
The president of the United States of America, Donald Trump, has pulled just over about $2 billion in federal funding or grants from Harvard University, saying the school has refused to comply with the administration's demands to take action on things like anti-Semitism. Harvard, like Columbia, has been in the news for well over a year now because they haven't done enough to squash these anti-Israel demonstrations. over Israel's response to it being the victim of a terrorist attack. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik was on Fox to talk about this, and she said Trump made the right decision because taxpayer dollars should not be going to schools that enable hatred. Clip four.
If you look at what they required for Harvard, it was protection of Jewish students. It is making sure that we are getting rid of DEI, which by definition is anti-Semitic. And instead, Harvard is acting more entitled than ever.
So how much money?
It's about $2 billion that we've been giving Harvard.
Of course, Harvard has the largest endowment of any school.
Yes.
In America. Look up Harvard.
I got you.
Harvard Endowment. Google Harvard Endowment.
Okay.
And
even so, $1.5 billion, that's a serious chunk of change.
Yeah.
Right there.
They probably included that in their budget for annually without having to take out any money from their endowment. What does their endowment say?
According to the AI assistant on Google, Harvard's endowment has a market value of just over $53 billion.
Okay. This is why I argued. This is kind of off subject here, but this is why I argued back during the. Remember when Biden was saying that he started just unilaterally forgiving student debt,
mm-hmm.
student loans,
mm-hmm.
which I know student loans are. I know people personally affected by this. It's a burden on
still
people
paying one.
Who have them, but it's not the response. It's the person who borrowed the money's responsibility. To pay it back. That's just life. I'm sorry if you borrowed tens of thousands of dollars, but that debt should not be passed on to the U.S. taxpayer. What Biden did was he said, hey, I think I can buy some votes among young people in particular if I just erase their debt, they'll vote for me, and I'll give their debt to the taxpayer. That's what Biden did. He tried to do it. It didn't work for him and Harris enough to win the election, but that's right. What they were trying to do. However, what I suggested was, listen, if schools want to forgive debt, just take it out of their endowments. My goodness. You, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what's stopping you? Go ahead.
How much student debt could, how many billion dollars did you say that the Harvard endowment is worth?
$53 billion.
Okay. You can pay a few student loans for $53 billion.
Sure, yes.
You can pay a few. What I'm saying is if people who go to Harvard want to apply for student loan forgiveness, let them go directly to the school. Get them to say, yes, we agree, and we'll take the money out of our endowment. Not give it to the U.S. taxpayer to pay. Right. That's ridiculous.
It's made clear when you borrow money in a student loan, it's made clear to you in the paperwork that you are on the hook for this.
Right. But President Trump is wanting to withhold, he is withholding money to Harvard for what reason exactly?
It hasn't done enough to take action on things like anti-Semitism.
On the campus.
Yes, because there are students at Harvard, much like students at Columbia, Jewish students, who feel unsafe because there's people running up and down the campus grounds
right. Shouting
death to Israel and all these other hateful things.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when the Jews are going to wake up either in this country, by gosh, because but let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean, they're voting for people who don't like them.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're voting for the pro-Hamas crowd many times. Right? It's like contradictory. Now, in this last election,
right.
more of them voted for President Trump than voted, well, voted Republican than they have in the past historically.
Look, we don't have to say vote Republican. We just have to say to our Jewish friends, vote your own interests.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Vote for the party that wants to protect you, not the one that wants to see you get killed.
That's right. What President Trump said too. You know, he said, "Well, I don't know." Basically, I'm paraphrasing. He says, "I don't get it. Why do these Jewish voters keep voting with the party that entertains?" And promotes anti-Semitism in many respects,
right.
In the name of pro-Palestinian. That's what they would say in the name of, they wouldn't even say pro-Hamas necessarily. They'd say, you know, for the Palestinian people. So there you go. All right. We're going to take a short time out right here. Be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Jenna Ellis will be with us after this break. Stay with us.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. On this Tuesday, April the 15th, Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. And now joining us from the Sunshine State is Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, right here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. Did you ever get your guests back this morning, Jenna? I had to turn the radio off.
We did, finally. So Adam and Devin worked a little bit of magic, and we at least got a few minutes of commentary. So yeah. That's always fun on live radio, but yes.
Well, that's why I have more than one person on here. You know, if we lose our guests, we can all just
I thought it was for the fact that if you had a fourth of a brain, I had a fourth
know,
of a
Jenna's
brain.
I know, but Jenna's got to carry the whole thing. She's on by herself.
Well,
Adam and
Devin know I love to rant, and sometimes right. I will set aside segments just so I can rant, and I don't even want anybody else's opinion, so I have no problem filling time.
All right. What are we here to talk about? I've forgotten.
That's a good question. Well, look.
Okay. I know what I was going to ask you about. So President Trump I don't know if it was an offhand comment yesterday. He rarely does that, but he did it this
Shocker,
this
yes. Right?
He was talking about
unprecedented.
He was talking about sending U.S. citizens who were bad guys to El Salvadorian, if that's what you call it, El Salvador prisons. Notorious. They're called quote hell holes.
Right.
But we know that he is sending, in his administration, are rounding up gang members and cartel members and so forth and so on, who are not citizens, and sending them to this, I call it our new Guantanamo Bay, down there in El Salvador in Central America. But do you have the quote from him, Chris?
I have one of them.
Is this where he says, we'll have to see what the law says? Or
yes.
Okay, read the whole quote, because I don't want to mischaracterize what he said. Go ahead.
He said, we always have to obey laws, but we also have homegrown criminals that push people into subways, that hit elderly ladies in the back of the head with a baseball bat when they're not looking, that are absolute monsters. I'd like to include them in the group of people to get them out of the country, but you'll have to be looking at the laws on that.
Okay, but you'll have to be looking at the laws on that. That's a very important part of what he said. Mm-hmm. But Jenna, my initial reaction to this was, you can't do that. You can't send U.S. citizens to foreign prisons. Am I right?
Well, partially. So there is a difference under the law between a natural-born citizen, someone who came into their citizenship by virtue of birth, versus someone who was naturalized a U.S. citizen later. So at any time after birth. And for naturalized U.S. citizens, they can be deported, but only in very rare and specific circumstances. And it's a process known as denaturalization. And generally, it must occur before deportation. But in some circumstances, like, for example, membership in certain groups, like this was a big deal with affiliation to the Nazi Party post-World War II, that if you have that affiliation within 5 years of naturalization, then the court could actually strip you of your citizenship. And so we're not talking here, and I don't think that Trump and also Secretary of State Rubio, who weighed in a little bit, and Pam Bondi at that meeting yesterday, we're talking about U.S. citizens that are born citizens. They're talking about people with dual citizenship or through the naturalization process that may even have committed fraud in obtaining their U.S. citizenship. So this is still, there still is an opportunity and a process for this. Like many other things, Trump kind of says this vaguely and then relies on his legal experts and other members of his comms team to clarify. But he's not actually wrong in the generalization and the way that he put it.
Okay. Well, I don't think that'll ever, I will see. I don't think that'll happen. I think it was just what he was, I think, basically expressing was frustration that so many of our liberal American states and cities let violent criminals off the hook.
Yeah,
let them walk the streets after, you know, after committing crimes that are
and seemingly incentivizing.
Yeah, but I would say this: hey, listen, if the city of New York or city of Chicago want to continue to let violent criminals run their streets and their citizens don't give a rip, that's their business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish it weren't so, but the people of New York
or Chicago,
they know that it's a revolving door down at the DA's office, and they don't care. They keep voting for the same old people anyway. So if they don't care, what do I care? Is that a cynical view, would you say?
I think we have to take this also in context, because in the meeting, this was with the president of El Salvador, and
right,
in the context of the media and the Democrats making a really big deal, and it's become known now as the Maryland Man hoax, which is this El Salvador, not a U.S. citizen, has been in the United States for decades, but was deported, and the Supreme Court 9-0 said that he had to return. And El Salvador is saying, no, we're not going to bring him back. And Trump is
right,
basically defying the court. And Marco Rubio even said that the courts and Article III judges as a whole, including the Supreme Court, have no jurisdiction over immigration policy, which is true. And this is a policy matter. And so all of this is coming not because Trump, and I agree with you, he's not just targeting U.S. citizens sort of randomly.
Right.
This is more about what's going on in El Salvador. This is more about the MS-13 and Tren de Aragua gang violence, and saying, listen, even if somebody claims to be a U.S. citizen or they're going through the naturalization process, if they are violent criminals or affiliated with these violent gangs, they're still subject to deportation. And I think that was overall Trump's message.
You know, what's hidden and can't exactly be known, but I think we can draw common sense conclusions on this, is if you have a situation that President Trump and his team have initiated, by that I mean they're rounding up violent gang members, criminals who aren't citizens, and ICE is going up, and they're just going all over the country now, and they're sending these folks to this prison prisons in El Salvador, which is the purpose of the meeting yesterday with the El Salvadorian president to talk about this, and President Trump wanted to thank him for accepting these criminals. That's going to trickle back down, in reverse, so to speak, from the man on the street, the criminal on the street, to people going, well, I just don't think, if you're let's say you're a gang member or you're a drug dealer and you're from another country, okay, and you're not a U.S. citizen, and you think to yourself, wow, they're serious. They're rounding up. I know these people. They're rounding up and they're sending them to El Salvador. You know what? I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm either getting out of the U.S. or I'm getting out of the gang business. You see what I'm saying? I think that, don't you think that's a going to be a natural
deterrent?
Yeah.
It's serving as deterrence, and it's a great thing that we actually have someone in charge, and we have a Secretary of State, and we have an Attorney General who's saying we're not going to tolerate this and just allow for all of these Democrats who are in these cities that you just mentioned, Tim, that are saying, oh, we don't care, you know, whatever, because our government is supposed to be protecting law and order and protecting our rights, and so as law-abiding citizens, and so when they are now signaling, I mean, it's the same thing. We don't see all these migrant caravans coming across the border anymore.
Shocker, right? No.
Well, it's because they know that now the border is being enforced.
Right. All right, Jenna, what do you got coming up tomorrow morning?
Well, so far, we're actually going to be talking a little more about on this topic with another attorney who's a frequent guest. And we'll also have Chip Roy, hopefully this week, representative on more on the SAVE Act and some other things going on in Congress. So a lot to look forward to this week. And then also, I'm really excited on Friday for a Good Friday special with my pastor here in Florida. I love how we do our Good Friday and Easter sunrise service. So we're going to be going through a lot of the history in the Bible and just having a really great program for Good Friday.
Okay, wonderful. Jenna Ellis in the morning is Monday through Friday at 7:05 Central Time to 8 o'clock. So join Jenna each weekday morning for the an analysis of current events and keeping you posted on what's happening in our country and some international news as well as Christian news. So Jenna does that every weekday morning. And your On Demand podcast, which doesn't air on the radio, but people can download it. That's a weekly podcast. Tell us about that.
Yes. So On Demand is our AFR exclusive podcast where we can do a deeper dive into issues and topics that our listeners really want to hear from. So if you have a topic and a suggestion, you can email me, Jenna@AFR.net. And you can find that at AFR.net or on our streaming app. And you just go click for podcast, look for On Demand, and we drop it every Friday so that you can hear more about some of these issues that we only have a few minutes on radio to cover.
Okay. All right, Jenna, take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy Holy Week.
You too. That's Jenna Ellis joining us from Florida. Yes, Wesley.
I was going to make a comment on the ICE and the arrest in the last, or the first 50 days of Trump. So as of a month ago to today, there was a press release from Homeland Security website that shows that 32,809 enforcement arrests have been made under the Trump administration, and the previous, and that was more than the previous 12 months under Biden. And obviously,
no, under Biden, there were
four.
There were four.
That was by accident.
1,100 of them were gang members that were arrested, and 40 of them were terrorist suspects. So that's just in the first 50 days. So that's
been unbelievable.
Yeah, what they've been able to accomplish.
Tom Holman's like a pit bull out there.
Yeah.
He just doesn't let go.
That's right.
He is just, talk about. He probably sleeps less than Trump, when you hear him talking.
It's powered by the sun.
I'm talking about he's ICE, isn't he?
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Borders are, which is under ICE.
Borders are. All right. By the way, Jenna mentioned that this is Holy Week. We have failed to mention that so far. What do we mean by that, Ray?
This is the week. It's the great week. It's the week that we remember what happened when our Lord came to Jerusalem. Starts with Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, presenting himself. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Monday cleanses the temple, and then Tuesday there's controversy, and Wednesday Judas makes his evil arrangement with the Pharisees to betray the Lord Jesus. Thursday, of course, the upper room. And then late Thursday night, Jesus is betrayed by Judas. He's arrested for about 6 hours. Basically, our Lord was, he underwent, it looks like, Tim, about 6 hours of trials. Late Thursday night, early into Friday morning, and bouncing between the Sanhedrin and Herod and Pilate and back to, I guess it's Pilate and then Herod and then back to Pilate again. And finally, he is scourged and Barabbas, who do you want? Release Barabbas. Release the terrorist. Jesus is sent off to be crucified. And on Friday morning, 9 a.m., Jesus is nailed to the cross. He's on the cross for 3 hours. Noon on Friday, suddenly the great darkness descends. Darkness on the face of the earth for 3 hours. When Jesus is bearing the sins of the world, and Jesus cries out at the end, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he says, it's finished. And then he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He bows his head and he dies. He's buried on Friday just before sundown, and Saturday he's in the grave. And then, Tim, the great climax of Holy Week. Early. It's interesting. Both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describe it's early. It's early in the morning. It's before sunrise. The stone is rolled away. The sealed is broken. And Jesus comes back to life. A man who was dead. Crucifixion, remember, wasn't just a form of death. It was a form of torture. It was intended to be a horrendous way for a man to die. When Jesus was buried, he was as completely dead as any man could be. And on Sunday morning, before sunrise, up from the grave, he arose. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. And as has been said many times, when Jesus walked out of the grave, all of his people walked out with him. So it's a great week, Tim. Wonder, this is Tuesday of Holy Week, and we are walking with Jesus toward the cross and toward the empty tomb.
Amen. Amen. Well, Christians around the world are celebrating Holy Week, and as Ray mentioned, he just outlined the whole week and everything that happened on every particular day. I had one question, and it's kind of a sideline issue, I guess, but I've always been curious about this, Ray. The people that greeted Jesus on Palm Sunday with the palms and him riding right. in on a donkey right. into Jerusalem, right? That's what happened?
Right.
Okay. Why were they... why were they there? Yeah, why were they commemorating or celebrating Jesus coming into? What was the purpose of that?
Well, a great many of them were his followers from Galilee who knew who he was, who okay. had heard him speak, who had seen his miracles, okay. and many of them had come to believe in him. Tim, that's a fascinating question because. When the gospel writers talk about the triumphal entry, they talk about exactly what you said, that the great multitudes came out and blessed, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the children were singing and they were cheering. It was a fantastic event. And that made the Pharisees mad, the religious leaders. Things were getting out of control. And they said to Jesus and to his disciples, tell these kids to be quiet. And remember what Jesus said back. If I tell them to be quiet, the stones will cry out. It was one of the greatest moments in all history when our Lord was presenting himself. By the way, go back and read Zechariah chapter 9. What Jesus did on Palm Sunday was in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9. And the wise people among the Jews understood he was presenting himself as the king of the mm-hmm. Jews. It was the religious leaders who wanted him dead. And by the end of the week, they would have their way. It just didn't work out. It just didn't work out by Sunday morning the way they expected. Yeah.
The title of my pastor's sermon on Sunday night was Don't Make the Rocks Do Your Job. And it was all the places in Scripture where we're told to praise God.
Yeah, or the rocks will cry out. Mm-hmm. One other question related to that. That was the first half of my question. There was another crowd, right, a few days later.
Right.
The crowd that you mentioned who wanted Barnabas to be
released,
who was a criminal. Surefire criminal. Yeah.
Stone cold killer.
Yeah, yes. Okay, so this crowd's saying release Barabbas, I should say, right? Did I say Barnabas? What did I say?
He's the one that sang.
Hey, Barnum.
Well, no, that was Silas.
I meant to say Barabbas. Okay, so, and sometimes people say, and the same crowd who welcomed him 3 days later wanted him to be condemned. And I'm thinking, I don't
think that's right.
Are they all bipolar? I mean, come on. Or, you know, have problems mentally? I don't think so. Go ahead.
Our pastor on Sunday made the point that, remember, Passover was one of the three times when the Jewish men were told to come to Jerusalem. So you come to Jerusalem, you bring your wife, you bring your kids. Scholars estimate at a low end, at least 500,000 people were in Jerusalem that day, but could be up to that week, up to 1 million people were there. So yes, some of them knew who Jesus was, and they were so glad to see him on Sunday. But there were others who hated him and who wanted him dead. The people who understood who he was, or at least were sympathetic to him, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But by Friday morning, it was the chief priests, the scribes, and their friends who wanted, they wanted this troublemaker dead.
Okay, so it wasn't the same crowd.
No.
Of people. It was a crowd, but two different groups.
And think, Tim, think how sick you have to be in your mind to say, we got a murderer. We've got we would say today, a serial killer.
Right.
We've got a mass murderer terrorist. We'd rather set him free than let Jesus go free. We want Jesus dead so bad, let's let the terrorists go.
Well,
how sick do you have to be?
Yeah, those people were buying into what the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, were saying about Jesus, that he was a blasphemer and worthy of death. I got you. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Read the whole story about Jesus and Holy Week, as we call it in the scriptures. Chris, what's your next story there?
Well, I want to mention this because a lot of people are buying items for Easter or Resurrection Sunday, and many people shop at places like Walmart. So between today and really Easter of 2026, many people going into a Walmart may notice some changes involving those self-checkout lanes. Now, when you walk into a Walmart, they've got the little section there where people basically work for Walmart and check their own stuff out. And then they go about their day. Walmart is changing how they're doing that, and it's similar to how Sam's does this. Walmart's Scan and Go technology, it allows shoppers to scan items with their mobile app as they shop, and then they can check out with the app at self-checkout stations. The idea here is that it's going to reduce checkout time and waiting in lines, because who wants to do that, right? So this is going to be some changes at Walmart. Again, it's something similar to Sam's if you've ever been in there. And because Walmart is doing this, I have no doubt other retailers will follow suit.
All right. You know about this, Wesley?
I've heard of it.
I'll share the link for you.
I've heard of this over the last couple of years in other parts of the country. So this is not a new thing. But maybe,
like everything else in Mississippi, we're getting it last? Is that what you're telling me?
They'll get to us eventually.
Most likely. On the West Coast, they've been doing things like this for a while. But I'm looking it up now. There's also one that goes further than this that I've read about. I read about this 2 years ago, and that's where you would walk in stores. I think it was Costco that was the first one. You walk in Costco, and then you walk out, but you never even scan anything.
Amazon has done that too. Some of their stores.
So they have cameras that see you, and they see what you. I know.
Creepy.
Yeah. And they see you pick it up, and they put it in your cart, and then you walk out.
Somebody has to scan it somewhere.
The cameras scan it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Well, yes, they do, but it's not you scanning it. They're watching you, Dad.
Like Sting.
Oh, okay. I'll be watching. Explain you. How this works. Some explain.
Oh, I know. In like
Walmart. All right. Listen. Hold on.
There you go.
You talking about what Wesley described, or what Walmart? What the story? The news story was what Walmart's going to start doing. Yes. Is that what you're talking about, Ray?
Explain both.
Okay. As I understand it, you guys jump in here in a minute. What they're doing or going to do soon, Walmart, is this. Instead of going to your checkout line or your...
Self-checkout line.
I'm going up to the cashier. I'm just old school, but I'm going to the cashier. Unless there's a line of 20, then I'll brave the do-it-yourself scanning machine. But what they're talking about here is you use your cell phone, is what I understand. Mm-hmm. and you scan as you shop. So you pick up an item, and I guess you scan the barcode or whatever on there, and it goes to your wallet, so to speak, your virtual wallet or your credit card that's already in there. And then so you get through shopping, you got $100 worth of product in your buggy, and there's either some place in the store you can go or you walk straight out the door. I don't know, but it charges you based on the products you have in your, oh, we call them a buggy here. I don't know what. What do you call them in?
Cart.
What do you call
the
them?
Cart. The cart.
Yankees call them carts. Cart. We call them buggies. Okay.
So your shopping buggy.
It's a.
Did I describe that right?
You could describe that right, and I got more on what I'm talking about right here.
Okay.
When we get back.
More of this riveting radio conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Shopping at Walmart, and how to scan yourself. But that if they can do that successfully, yeah. What we just described, that will change everything, because a lot of people take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we will be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.